Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. This season is all about soulmates. Such a fun topic. We love talking about this, and we get a whole season dedicated to just talking about soulmates, soul connections, soul ties, the whole soul thing. And today we are here talking about cutting soul ties and what soul ties are and those kinds of energy healings that go along with that. And we actually are so grateful to have on Tomoko Uno, who is a QHHT level 2 practitioner. And you'll learn all about what that is as you listen to the episode. But I actually came across some type of a post or somebody had forwarded me something. I don't even remember how I did it, but Tomoko writes this amazing newsletter and I read it. It's like every weekend and I get it and I read the whole thing from start to finish. And I forwarded it out to people because it is so insightful. It's actually, to be honest, Tomoko, it's the only newsletter that I read. And I read it every single week. I look forward to it coming and I always get some really cool ideas from it. So I was like, well, who else to have on the show that would be better than Tomoko? Like, let's just reach out. And so I was so happy when you said yes, and you're here on our show today. So thank you for being here. And maybe you could just start by telling us a little bit about your upbringing and background, particularly as it relates to Shinto and Buddhism, because I think that will really frame our conversation to understand what it is that you do and how that relates to the things we're talking about with soulmates.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for the great compliments on my newsletter. So, okay. I was born and raised in Japan. And in Japan, there are two different religions. One is the Shintoism. Shintoism is the true Japanese religion. And Buddhism is there from India, and then it came to Japan through China. And Shintoism is pure nature element, like a harmony and balance with nature. It's more close to like a Native American shamanism. It's like really elements and nature and spirit-based. And Buddhism is understanding the attachment and self-awareness. And sometimes attachment creates suffering, and that suffering creates karma. And then karma becomes the pattern in your relationship. And to know all this, and because in Japan, we don't pick one or two, the one or the other religion. We just pick, they're all incorporated with our culture, the way of living and way of thinking. So to just grown up in that environment, I just see the relationship probably different way rather than the Western, you know, point of view. And then later on, I got really interested in subconscious, which 95% our life is dictated by like all the decision making and habits and everything is based on subconscious. And this, I run into QHHT and this resonated with me because QHHT is amazing part is you can access directly to your subconscious. So you can ask questions about relationship and health and finance and so on. So,
and what does the QHHT stand for?
So QHHT is Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique.
Mm.
Yeah, it's developed by Dolores Cannon. And she passed, but yeah. Mm. So that's how we learn from her. And just to their session, people bring as many questions as you want to your subconscious. And I can ask those questions to their subconscious.
Mm.
So basically through hypnosis, their subconscious is answering all those questions.
Cool.
Well, that's cool. How did you find QHHT specifically out of all the different kinds of, you know, sort of hypnosis?
I tried it here and there, different modality, healing modality. And I try but QHHT, the most resonated with me. And it's just amazing how to just, even without thinking under hypnosis, you can just directly talk to subconscious. I don't think there is any other modality like that unless you're like super good at meditation by yourself, or, you know, so it's really hard to do for me by myself and then under meditation and try to talk to my subconscious. I can't do that. So it's really, yeah, it's really great modality to just to talk to your subconscious.
Wow, that is so cool. So like when you're talking about like these, you're talking about your, you know, the religious intersection of Shintoism and Buddhism and just kind of making up the Japanese culture, like how do those particular kind of philosophies, perspectives, religions, whatever you might call them, how do they view relationships, particularly like as we're looking at soulmates or soul contracts or soul connections with other people, how do those view relationships?
So Shintoism is all about harmony and balance to one another. And Buddhism is more aware of awareness and compassion. But at the same time, those negative relationship cause suffering. And the suffering is, you can gain growth in learning from suffering. So, but then that became karma. So relationship is all about self-growth. So it's not about finding soulmate. And based on Western point of view, soulmate is just to find one person that, and then usually soulmate relationship goes, everything is like go easy and, you know, and just rainbow and unicorn. But in that, our point of view will be, it's more struggle you have with a relationship, that more you grow. So we'll take the more growth rather than like perfect, you know, really. And of course you can learn love from the perfect relationship, but not everybody can do that. And so from that conflict and heartbreak and, you know, betrayal and everything, you grow. It's all about growth, like yourself.
And maybe I missed this part, but so I consider myself a Buddhist, but Southeast Asian Mahayana type. Like within Japan, the Shintoism and the Buddhism, can you, that go hand in hand? Because you're saying, I think you're saying like Shintoism is more, like the Buddhism is more introspective, whereas Shintoism is more collective. We are
balanced.
Collective,
harmony.
Okay.
And then, so in Japan, like I said, we don't pick one or the other. It's all integrated. So Buddhism temples is everywhere, and the Shinto shrines everywhere. And then people just pick and choose. You don't have to pick one or the other.
You can do both, right?
You can do both. They're all integrated.
That's what I love about Buddhism and Asian religion or ideologies, philosophies, shout out, because it's not monotheistic. It isn't, you must believe this. It's really like, you know,
it's all, yeah. And then especially Shintoism is all nature. And yeah, everything is elements and spirits and everything. You can't even see, like, we have a god of wind, god of fire, god of earth. And so everything is really similar to Native American shamanism.
Oh, that's cool. Well, do either of these, Buddhism or Shintoism, have any kind of ideals around, you know, soulmates, soul connections, past lives, reincarnation, any of these things that sort of tie us together? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about those philosophies.
So Buddhism is really, they do teach karma and past life, and which is tied into QHHQ too, because the past life creates karma, and then there is always lesson and purpose that you have that past life. And then you people bring trauma into this current life. So that's why it's just keep repeating cycle unless you learn that lesson and purpose. And that's where the QHHG come in, and we can just discover those why and how it's formed these relationship formed in the first place. And then as soon as you recognize that connection, then it's all like naturally started to dissolve.
So probably 20 plus years ago, I was having a very hard time and I was not doing well. And my mother, who's, you know, considers herself also to be Buddhist, was like, well, if you don't learn this lesson, now you're just going to come back in the next life and have to learn it. And I thought that was so harsh, you know, when she said it. And I was like, damn. But it's something that stuck with me ever since. And actually, it was upsetting at the time. And, you know, I was in a very, like, vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. But then, honestly, that's, like, given me my entire, like, life's, like, I have to learn from this. Right. I need to work through this, you know?
Yeah. So Buddhism is everything about is the self-growth. Yeah. So it's not necessarily finding the perfect soulmate, perfect, you know, relationship. It's all about learning.
So when we learn, like we learn these lessons, we end up somehow getting attached to certain people along the way, whether we continue to attach ourselves through past, you know, whatever past lives or whatever. And we come back and we have these connections. And sometimes those are really unhealthy connections, or they become unhealthy and we get really like attached to people. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how that attachment works, like on a spiritual level.
Okay. So that's why I wrote about that newsletter about the cord cutting. And the cord cutting is a spiritual practice that release those unhealthy relationship and attachment energy from the relationship from the other person. And you can just from the share, like people share really strong bond and relationship, the strong meaningful experience together through love, intimacy, and friendship and family bonds. But at the same time, painful experience like conflict and heartbreak and betrayal. But then relationship, when that relationship ends, then those strong emotion will stay with you like echo. Like when you hear, like, you know, watch the same commercial over and over and over, like all those songs stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. So your body is echoing those energy, negative energy. So that's how we, like, cord cutting would be, you can release those emotional baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's more of a through intention and meditation and a visualization, stuff like that. So that's I wanted to write about the cord cutting. So because it's easier, you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can do the cord cutting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Can learn how to do it. So you don't have to rely on the practitioner or, you know, so you can, people do it with, like I said, the meditation, visualization. And then there is even the ritual that you can do. That ritual is, I think, it's more to bring your awareness so you can just let that energy go. So it's really important to be aware and know this is not healthy relationship or healthy energy that I have to let go. And even negative energy, you have to let go with gratitude and love and appreciation.
So this is awesome, because I think of all these, you know, we come in and out of relationships, not just romantic ones, but all the time, where we carry like toxicity, even in this, this lifetime, not just from past lives. But, you know, I had this one situation where I was connected to someone, we had split up, and I wanted to do a cord cutting, but there was a little part of me that said, if we cut that cord, what if I want to be back with this person and I can't ever connect with them because the cord cutting felt very permanent? Is that really the case? Like, if you cut a cord with someone, can you no longer really connect back with them?
How does that work? It's not. That cord cutting would be like your cord cutting was not with that person necessarily, but with that situation or that energy. So if your cord cut after that and you basically raise your vibration, use your frequency, and if that the other person matches your frequency with you, then there is a possibility that they will come back to you. So it's not necessary cutting entirely with that person.
Right.
Yeah.
I see. That makes sense. So could you maybe potentially even have to cut a cord with someone more than once, like if the situation changed?
Sure. So exactly. So like even negative, you know, relationship, of course you want to cut those energy and get dissolve those energy. But even if it's a positive relationship, if you had a positive relationship with someone but ended, even if it's positive, you want that energy to go. And because you want to, like, it's kind of like a, for example, if like I make really beautiful dinner and you have a really beautiful experience having dinner, but you still have to do the dishes. So if you don't do the dishes start piling up. So you don't want to have those dishes to move on or to have the better relationship. So you want to clear the energy all the time, even if it's a positive one. So end of the day, if you have a lot, you know, spend great day with the loved one, and but you still think about that energy and you want it to let it go. And then so tomorrow would be the new day, clean slate. So you don't start it to, even the positive energy, positive experience started to getting noise afterwards. So that's why you want to dissolve those positive, even positive relationship or any, you know, hard relationship.
That's hard for me. I wouldn't want to dissolve any positive stuff, but I do. I know. I have one experience with cord cutting that I did not do, but it was done for me apparently. But at the same, I was working with an astrologer to get out of a kind of toxic situation. Well, I didn't realize that's what I was wanting to get out. But she told me like I need to set up boundaries, and once I set up boundaries, that will like this person will like basically, you know, narcissists don't like boundaries and they'll disappear. So at the same time, I had consulted a psychic, and then I talked to her later, and the person basically just disappeared, like as if like into thin air, out of my life completely.
Uh-huh.
No residual feelings, no attachment, no nothing. And so I thought, okay, I did this good work with the boundaries, and the psychic's like, well, I did cord cutting for you. And she's like, I did it, you know, the other day. And so I never have known, like, well, okay, what was it that actually did it, right? Was it the boundaries? But I do think like me putting that energy, no matter what, that like, I want this done, mm-hmm. like done and out of my life. So
right.
Even though I didn't do an official cord cutting, you know, supposedly one was done for me. I think like I have found that it worked like poof, like gone, all that, everything, like wow. No residual negativity whatsoever, but I would never want to cut like positive. That's interesting to me when you say that.
When I say it's cutting, it's not like completely cutting. Mm-hmm. You just want to remove those dishes, basically.
Mm. So, like clean up the next day. So whatever can come in.
Exactly. Okay. So you have a more space to have a more good things.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you've had the experience, you enjoyed it. Oh, but.
Right.
Like you can let more come in.
Yeah. So for example, like when I have a QHHT session with the client and the session went really well, but I still have to let go of the energy. So next day I can have another good things coming, good session, you know, to come in.
Right.
So you don't want to, it's not, I don't want to say like baggage, because it's a positive, you know, experience. Right. But you don't want to, it became noise afterwards. So you want to just get rid of those dishes every time so you can have more space to have a better things in your life.
Well, that's interesting. It makes sense, right? To clear it out. I mean, you only have the mm-hmm. capacity for so much stuff in there.
Right.
I had a cord cutting only once. I had it done by a shaman. She was a third generation shaman from Hawaii. So she was using a lot of like native rituals from Hawaii. And she actually said something really interesting. And I want to know, I'm curious if you've experienced this or you've seen this or heard about this, but she was in there to do a kind of a cleansing is what I really requested of her, of a person that I had just gotten out of a relationship with. And the shaman, she said, okay, that was pretty easy. There's not a lot of resistance. I can feel that this is just like the two of you are parting ways. There's a little sadness, but nothing big. And she mm-hmm. said, but there's someone else there that I'm picking up. She said, there's someone that's like kicking and screaming and doesn't want to let go of you. And as soon as she started describing this person, I realized it was my ex before this ex. And, mm-hmm. and that there was some residual energy that was just being grabbed onto me. And she's right. like, well, I'm going to cut that cord too. But I thought it was interesting that somebody from such a long time ago
sure.
still had some kind of energetic kind of connection to me. I don't know. Have you ever seen that where people like there's all sorts of unexpected energy that's still holding on?
So that's where the like when I have a QHHD session, we go through a past life regression, and that happens all the time because people bring into trauma, especially trauma, into this current life. So that's why we want to get to cause root cause of it, so it doesn't happen in this current life. But yeah, we see it all the time.
It's so interesting. I mean, thinking about that, like, I didn't even realize how heavy that was. It wasn't even the current situation that was heavy. It was like, as soon as that cord was cut, I really honestly did within about 24 hours, I just felt lighter. I felt like, lighter. And, but it was really interesting. I'm like, well, who else is there? Who else needs the cord cut?
That's why it's that the QHHT is really powerful. I mean, cord cutting is great because you can get rid of, if you go to shaman and other practitioner, they can see the cord that you are not aware of, you don't remember, or you are not aware of. But cord cutting is you can do yourself. That, you know, just the only relationship that you're aware of. So QHHT is very powerful because you just go into your subconscious and find out those memories that you don't even know you have it. Like when you're even like tiny, like when you're 4 or 5 years old and you're with your mom and this guy was really rude to your mom. And when you're little, those experiences scares you. But and then you just subconsciously, you implant those negative emotion towards men, you know, and towards, you know, other women, or towards, you know, especially when it comes to relationship towards men. And it creates really unhealthy relationships with men. So when you go into QHHT and find out those memories that you are not aware that you even had, so you can get rid of those emotion and negative energy from the past life, or even like when you're younger. And those are really important. So cord cutting is great to do yourself, and QHHT will be go even deeper, and even go even like a deeper the past lives and how and why these unhealthy relationships started form. So we can find out. And then as soon as you recognize those connection, then it's naturally dissolved, or you can let that go.
Okay, that makes sense. So a lot of the QHHT is about awareness, right? Like understanding that you have this preconceived notion from when you were a kid, or something from your past life. And once it kind of emerges, you can just let it go. There's not a lot of action that needs to be taken.
Right. So every like small thing when you're little, like even when you're younger, it's really amplified, like all those rude people or, you know, mean people towards your mom or dad, like, oh no, this, you know, this man is really scary. And then that imprints into your subconscious. So, and then, you know, afterwards when you grew up, it's like, oh, it's not big deal, but it's that energy is still there. So you want to remove those energies, because then those energies are subconsciously affecting your relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, Corey, with your cord cutting, because you didn't even know that person was still like hanging on. I mean, you kind of did, because you get every little once in a while. But like, I know what, you know, I was around when she was doing that. And it's like, I didn't think the shaman was necessary for her current relation, the one that had just ended, because it really wasn't like a lot of bad, you know, negative vibes. It was just like, okay, this really didn't work out. But to have that, like, she would have never, even if she looked within herself, like, she wouldn't have known that other person was still like hanging on and obsessed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like the person was constantly like contacting, you know, there was a little bit, but like, you know, for people, I mean, when you take situations like, you know, stalkers and stuff, like, I mean, I imagine you could try anything. Obviously, so I'm a former cop and I'm an attorney. So obviously I would advise, you know, 911 protection order, documenting, but also doing this like work, right? Because there's some reason some people are obsessed. And I do think some of that stalking, some of the stuff that just seems like, what is this person's problem, comes either right. from past life stuff or whatever.
Yeah. So and they might be even doing it without their, you know, awareness. They right. might be doing that. You know, they might think they are moved on, but, you know, energetically, they're still stuck mm-hmm. with Corey and, you know,
right.
and they probably don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it makes sense. And I mean, like I said, whether, you know, those people that are skeptics that are out there, they're like, well, this stuff doesn't really work. Well, it worked for me because I feel a lot better yeah. and I feel a lot lighter. Yeah. So, ha. But, you know, the idea is that, I don't know, I feel a sense of peace that energy isn't being, because I mean, although the energy, it felt like the person was sort of clinging on and pulling me, mm-hmm. That person was pulling the energy from me. So I didn't even realize that my reserves were being tapped. And so I wasn't knowingly even expending energy, but I clearly was, because I was creating some kind of barrier. I was trying to fill my depleted energy pools. And I just feel a lot more at peace since mm-hmm. being able to do that. Now, I didn't do QHHT. That would have been really cool to do. I feel like that would be like the next step for me. I had gone to the shaman for a totally different reason. I had just
That's
gone
amazing experience.
And this just came out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So yeah. So like I said, that these people, it's energy is real, mm-hmm. you know, and then mm-hmm. those, you can feel like when you go into the room and if it was a negative energy, you feel it. So energy is real, even you can't see it. And those people who are attached to you are not purposely probably not doing this. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then also you might have a karma. You might have a past relationship in the past life with that person. And, you know, the past life, that particular person didn't want to let go. You know, that might be it too. So it's just all connected with karma and repeating patterns and, you know, energy. So that's why there's an important to be aware of what's energy, and you have to protect your energy also. So it's very important to aware of energy exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting as you say this, right, about protecting your energy. So this is going to sound really, really weird, but I was probably 4 years ago or so, I was walking uh-huh. through IKEA, you know, the store okay. IKEA. I was walking uh-huh. through the lighting section of IKEA, and all of a sudden I felt so incredibly depressed and oh, wow. overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where did that come from? I'm literally in the lighting section. It's, you know, yeah. I'm at IKEA. How can one be depressed at IKEA? And uh-huh. so I felt horrible. And my daughter, I have a shared custody agreement, and I was getting my daughter for one weekend that month, and I was on my way to the airport to go get her. So I was so excited, but I mm-hmm. couldn't shake this energy, this feeling of just heaviness and darkness. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. And I tried to force myself through the whole weekend, thought, gosh, why am I depressed? And then as I was driving her back to the airport on Sunday, like mm-hmm. right in the middle of the drive, boom, it was gone. And I don't know where it went or, you know, why it left. But I remember thinking to myself, as soon as it happened, was, that was not my energy.
Right. Yeah.
So like somebody else in the lighting section?
Yeah. Probably walked by who was really depressed or sad or something. I mean, I'm kind of an empath, so I picked up, but I don't know.
Especially if you're empath, definitely.
Yeah. So do you see that kind of thing happen, Tomoko, where you maybe not even have a relationship with someone, but you somehow pick up some kind of energy tie with someone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's why it's really important to protect yourself. And I always think, imagine, of like white light of pyramid is around surrounding me, and so negative energy can't come in. And I did that does happen to me once quite a few times too, like all of a sudden I get depressed or all of a sudden I get terrified or and then out of no reason, and then it's, you know, it dissolved in the end because I'd be like, I'm protected, and you know, I'm in the light. And so then it started to dissolve, but it sometimes they linger for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of those unexplained things. It's weird. Mm. Like in the evening or something, like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, I just felt panicked. Like I was just at home.
Yeah.
Everybody was home. There was no reason. And I felt like completely panicked. And I don't know why, but I just said it out loud and then I talked about it. And
mm-hmm. That's really important, because at first you're aware something is happening. It's to me, to you, and then you're aware of it. And then that's very important. Some people don't even aware and say, oh, I don't know why I'm depressed, but you don't even think about it and you just keep going. And then those situation, I think those energy are easier to attach longer. So it's important to aware of what's happening to you and your energy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's good that you talked about it and then just, you know.
And I asked for affection, like from my wife, just like, I'm feeling panicked. I don't know what it's about. Like just, and it totally she wasn't like, oh, that's so weird or what's your problem? You know, like really like sympathetic and like, it was like two nights in a row and then it went away. Or maybe it was like the nine that day. But yeah, it was weird. Like I often get those strange like feelings. And I know they're not tied to me necessarily, because it's like, well, nothing's wrong, you know? Literally nothing's going on.
And sometimes those negative energy might just, you know, wants to have the positive energy, you know, and it's just to cling to you for a little bit.
But I want to go and see if there are any cords pulling on me that I don't even know about.
Right, right. Yeah.
Just get rid of them. Chop, chop, chop. Like, would you recommend cutting these energetic attachments with all exes? Like, yeah. I mean, first we'd have to go find out if there are some, or people that you have a toxic bond with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would recommend it. And especially if you have a like toxic and negative relationship, you don't want to carry that baggage all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, like in that Corey's, you know, situation, they might be the one who's attached to you too, that you're
right,
not
that
aware
she doesn't
of.
Even know. Right?
Yeah. So I would recommend to cut all the ties. And then even I was talking about the positive one too, just not necessarily like, you know, that positive relationship with that person, but that relationship ended with purpose and lessons. So you want that, let that go also. Not necessarily, and then I will do, usually do Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian forgiveness. And when I do it, like you kind of imagine that, like a cord on your solar plexus, and then just imagine it and then just cut it like this. Then say, you know, Ho'oponopono, like thank you, I love you. And, you know, so I'll just let that go. It was every person.
Like, see, thank you for these lessons. Now,
yeah, exactly. I can
let it go.
So,
yeah.
So you can start new relationship, have healthier and the better, and with a clean slate.
Well, I've seen that with, so I've been to several elephant funerals in Thailand because I go to a sanctuary.
Okay.
And they do the Buddhist ceremony, you know, so the monk will come from the monastery and they do the chanting and they're holding a string that's down with the elephant, you know, and doing the chanting. And the end is then cutting the string throw the string in with the elephant. So
I
assumed that was like, okay, letting go, like the string was keeping the soul, you know, here at the place, but now you can be free and at peace. I don't know if that's.
So it's more for like, for you, like free yourself. So you can have a better and healthier relationship. Yeah. And you don't want other people to attach to you either. So it's not necessary about you with your negative energy towards that person. And like what Corey said, it could be vice versa. Like, you know, these people, some people are attached to you. So you want to cut that cord too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So like if someone were to go in for one of these sessions on QHHT, like what does it look like from start to finish? Like how do you do it?
So first we're going to, it takes a long time. It's a 5 to 6 hours. And because the first time I talk to them and then they tell me about their relationship or what's going on with your life. And then that it's just an interview. So I can guide them in the right direction. So we talk, some people talk a lot, some people don't. So it's like 2, 3, 4 hours. And some people can talk for 5 hours, but actual QHHT relate, QHHT session is 2 hours. You can't go under no longer than 2 hours. And at first, first hour will be the past life regression. And that will be your subconscious will pick and choose the sub, past life that you need to see right now. It's relevant to your current life. Then, well, I'll ask your, their subconscious, what's the purpose and what's the lesson from that? And then we moved on to questionnaire that you bring to your session. So you can bring as many questions as you want to ask your subconscious. And I'll be asking, I'm just a facilitator, so I'll be asking those questions to your subconscious when you're under hypnosis.
Oh, wow. That and sounds really cool.
Yeah, it is amazing. And the client has really good result. And sometimes some client will be, usually under hypnosis, will be you're aware of what's going on around you, because I'll be talking to you, I'll be asking questions. So you're aware, but some clients are aware, but they're like totally, hypnosis under. So they don't even know what they're saying. They don't even realize what they're, and then I'd be recording your session. So they'll be like, oh, look at that. I don't remember I'm saying that, kind of stuff, which is amazing. So yeah, so it's every client is different, and then we can resolve those physical healings. We can bring the physical, of course, relationship, finance, any question, physical. And I always ask their higher self to scan their bodies and what's not aligned and what's wrong, and if they can fix it, or they can, they can guide them to, journey to healing. So, which is really, really amazing.
Okay, I have a question. It's kind of along the lines of retreats and such. So can couples ever do this together, or is each person on this earth a singular person?
Because even if they think they are, perfect match, couple, but when I do the interview, there is a certain thing that they don't want them to hear. And if they're together, they won't, I can't bring them out of them. So it's the best to have one person. Yeah.
That's cool. Do you, what is it? I know you can't really divulge any information about your clients, but are there any particular sessions that you've had that have been really profound for you? Like, whoa, that was really cool.
Yeah, that was, so this particular client had a really, she didn't know why, but she really didn't like her grandpa. She was saying I don't understand why. I just don't like, I hate grandpa. And then we went to past life regression, and it ended up this client was this girl, and then grandpa is the one who sacrificed her. And way back when those people were still sacrificing, ritual. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who pushed her in volcano.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, so those karma is still coming back to their lives. And as soon as she recognized it, and she was like, oh, this is why. But then right after that, she started to feeling, better, lighter, mm-hmm. because she knows that's not him. That was the past life.
Did he feel any kind of weirdness mm-hmm. too?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to reach out to her, but she was just kind of refused to connect with him. And he probably didn't know why either. And he probably came into her current life as her grandfather to show his love, not sacrificing her granddaughter.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right. But isn't that interesting? Because that is, I think, the question about human evolution or spiritual evolution as a human is do we learn? So are these people, who have done such awful things, they come back here and then they're nice this time but like, you know, do they only learn that they were such jerks by like experiencing like what they did themselves, you know, or they can come and resolve it somehow with that person. And then they're like absolved from their badness before.
Right. So that's the hard part, that unless you're not aware of it, you can't. That's that, you know, big question, that if you're not aware of it, you, how can you learn? Right.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's the, that's why people come into QHHT to learn from it. And yeah, it's all about self growth. So if you're, you know, the people who are not like spiritual, you know, spiritual, they're, I don't know if they are, about self-growth in the spirituality, you know, spiritually. So then they won't evolve into next level. They can't bring their frequency higher.
Right. They have to be aware. They have to know.
Yeah.
There's a lady in my neighborhood who I hate. Like I see her and I just hate her guts. Like she's talked to me we've talked a couple times and I just think she's like a witch. And like, I can't get over that feeling.
Right.
And
right.
so I just, when I see her, I go the other way or I pretend I'm on the phone or something. Like I hate her, like with a visceral hatred.
So that's, you know, that's unusual, you know,
right?
Because I'm sure you don't want to feel that either.
Right.
Towards her. So that's probably have something to do with past life and the karma. She might be something that you might get killed by her, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then, but on the flip side, she might have no idea or any connection.
She, she tries to talk
like,
to
hi,
me.
Hi, Tracy. Like, and you're like, oh my God, you killed me in past life. And, and this person's like, I just want to be your friend and has no like feel for that.
Right. And if we were like, I don't know why she doesn't like me.
Or, exactly.
Yeah.
But if we resolved it, you know, I mean, we had this experience with somebody that Corey and I both know where literally, you know, Corey and I were told that I was her child who was killed. And then during the Holocaust, and then she died shortly after from a broken heart. And then I believe we've met the person who killed me. And I was hiking with that person. And I did not plan this. I just turned around and said, you killed me. This is when you did it. You spent your entire life trying to make up for that. And I like absolve you of all that. Like I have no residual feelings towards you. You're free of this. And it totally changed and transformed her life and transformed the friendship that Corey and she had and that I had. And I mean, I did not plan it. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to freak this girl out on this hike and say this to her.
It spoke to her soul.
Yeah, like when I tell other people that story, they like laugh. They're like, you're crazy. And I'm like, yeah, well, when I told her that, when I turned around and said it, like she got goosebumps all over her body. She almost threw up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It so totally... her soul recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
And some, you know, and that's an instinct.
Yeah.
Know? And then subconscious is all about instinct. So that's why you call it gut feeling. That's instinct. That's the message from subconscious. So you spoke to her subconscious and her subconscious recognized what she's done. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
other people just think,
got better.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. It got way better.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's kind of crazy. You blurted out.
I just blurted it out. I just turned around and told her you murdered me in the Holocaust and you've spent your life trying to make up for it by, you know, taking in foster kids and this and that. And I said, I just want to let you know it's okay. Like I'm freeing you of that. And I did not plan to say that. And like, you know, the same, like I did have, I don't even think I had like a little bit of, it was a weird dynamic that happened when Corey and I met her and it caused problems between me and Corey and both Corey and I were like trying to protect ourselves from that person. But it became very weirdly competitive from I was trying to push Corey away. And then that happened during the hike where I just blurted that out. And after that, all that tension disappeared. It like,
oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your subconscious is like now or never kind of thing. You don't have to do it now.
Yeah.
That's a message from subconscious. So that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very interesting situation. I wasn't trying to protect myself from her. I was just trying to be friends with her. And then Tracy came in like a wrecking ball trying to like protect me from somebody that I was like, I don't know why we're doing. And then it wasn't until a couple of years later when you actually confronted her about it or whatever. But it was a very strange thing.
Because
but again,
I didn't even know. Like, I was just acting on instinct, but I was doing weird things to like push them apart from each other, even though I'd never done that with any other people. And I didn't even know why I was doing it. I just acted completely 100% on instinct.
Wow. Yeah. That's definitely your subconscious, you know, telling you what to do. And then you heard him.
I know. And it's weird that like, I was the one who had to clear the air.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, but if I was the one killed, even though Corey also like apparently died, you know, like was brokenhearted about it, like I had to be the one to like say, okay,
sure,
this is already done. Like you've done enough. I've seen what you've done in this lifetime, and you've done enough. So be free, you know.
Are you guys still a friend with her?
Yeah.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But she didn't think it was strange or anything. So you talked to her.
No, it totally like she reacted so strongly to it in a like really a visceral level.
Yeah.
But I was literally telling my neighbors that story the other day and they were like laughing so much. I was like, listen, people, this is serious. And they were like, ah, you're crazy.
I know. They think it's lunacy. It, you know.
Right. But once you get them to stop laughing, then you really, I'm like, I'm serious. Like this is, you know, like this changed everybody, the three of us, our lives, you know.
That's amazing. That's great. But that's the only thing that I have a problem with, people who doesn't believe everything that they can't see. You know, they can't cross that line.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really hard. So I stopped trying to convince them.
Yeah, because I mean, they'll come to it when they want to, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. And I do think it takes some event happening in your life to bring a lot of people to understanding that there is more here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always imagine if I can see everything that I can't see right now, it would be like filled with air.
Right. It'd be overwhelming, right?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why we can't see them. Mm-hmm. We don't freak out.
Yeah, we don't. I think as humans, we don't have the capacity to handle that all at once, right?
Right.
Yep. Like too much.
Yeah. It would be way too much.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's nice in this way where we can sort of summon it or open ourselves up as a portal to get the information that we need when we need it, as opposed to just, dumping, here's all your past lives. Here's all your subconscious, running around. It would be a lot to have to deal with. But I did hear this interesting quote the other day that I thought was cool, was something to the effect of like, it's not a matter of whether miracles are true or not. It's a matter of whether you're open to see them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, you can say, okay, this is lunacy and you could not believe Tracy, but if something happened there, and I don't know if it was some type of not necessarily a cord cutting, but an energetic shift that took place with that kind of, as you were talking about the Ho'oponopono. With the forgiveness, right? And like the ability to forgive and say thank you for the lessons. It was like there was a form of forgiveness that Tracy was able to give, maybe not over the lessons learned, but over the behavior done, and saying, okay, because of that, like we can change our energetic tie to each other to not be one of, you know, kind of, you know, I owe you, or I need to be worried about you or protecting you, and make it more of just like absolving that. And so I think it's a matter of whether or not we're open to seeing that really matters.
And responding to that stuff. I mean, that person actually adopted and fostered a bunch of kids in this lifetime, I think to make up for past lifetimes, you know, behavior. And I can't stand it when people say, oh, people aren't capable of change. Well, not one, I think in us as a regular being, I do think if people want to change, they'll change. Yeah. If they don't, they won't.
Absolutely.
Right. But sometimes it may take lifetimes. Like it may take, you know, more than just this lifetime to learn what we need to learn.
So by you, Tracy, telling her that kind of, you know, tangibly, she noticed like, oh, this is what's going on with my life, and this is my lesson. So I think it was like tremendous help for her, I'm sure.
Well, and it's interesting because there's several other people, including my mother, and then two people I dated that supposedly there was past life stuff with, and it was very unpleasant in this lifetime. But working through, letting go of those people, both of those people, but I learned something before I let go. So I got the lesson, right? Mm-hmm. That actually freed me from stuff. And then I thought, oh my gosh, am I clearing the decks now? Cause there's been multiple, at least three or four people that I know now that I've had past life experiences with. So maybe I'm clearing the decks so I can just be free to never come back to this crazy place. Cause I don't want to come back. I just want to be in a cloud, heaven, a cloud somewhere forever. Right. With my wife. And we just sit up there, and if people want to visit us, great. But I don't want to come back here. And Corey and I differ in this, she wants to keep coming back, but I don't. And I feel I'm 55 years old and I started this psychic kind of journey, even though I felt a lot of this stuff when I was young kid. And, then it's okay, well, that's just dreams or craziness or whatever. But I don't want to be back here to do another 50 years before I find the things that truly make me happy. My remaining 50 years will hopefully be much, they seem to be on the track to be much happier than the first 50 years, So yeah. I don't know if I'm meeting people to clear up stuff,
Right. But you seems like you have those strong instinct and you can, clear that energy with other people. So I think you're on your way to go up in heaven,
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on my way. I'm going to get there.
You're on your way. Well, so Tomoko, as we kind of think about wrapping up this session, what's on the horizon for you these days? What are some things that you're working on, or what are some ways our listeners can connect with you? Because you're such a wealth of knowledge and you have so many cool things there. So what do our listeners need to know?
Thank you. So I'll keep continuing QHHT. So you can go to my website. It's tomokouno.com, and you can learn about QHHT. And at the same time, I have the newsletter, which I started out Tucson's Spiritual Living because that's where I live. But now I'm expanding to modern spiritual living, so the reader can go broad in the international. And if you want to subscribe my free newsletter, it'll be at highernews.info, and you can subscribe there for free. And I sometimes create course according to the topic, so I can give audience tangible, experience, so they can go deep dive into the category or topic. Because the newsletter is, you can't just put so much. I can just brush up the topic, but if you get the course, you can just go even deeper and learn stuff and you can practice yourself.
I love that. I think more people getting the newsletter would be great.
That'd be awesome.
I love it. And I love too that you highlight events to go to and links to go to.
Yeah, so Tucson, that's a local one. So I usually put events, the spiritual event that you can go to.
I love that. Well, we'll make sure to put links to all of the stuff in our show notes. That way, our
thank you. I have a Tucson Spiritual Living in the Facebook group.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'll make sure to add that too. So it's Tucson Spiritual Living.
Yeah. And then Instagram.
And Facebook and Instagram.
And then, Instagram is Healing with Tomoko.
Healing with Tomoko. Okay, cool. Yeah. We'll put these in there and make sure that our listeners have access to them. But what a great treat to have this conversation with you.
Thank you so much.
It was so cool. We covered a lot of ground, right? Really looking at this idea of energy and soul and instinct and, some of those things around your own healing and being able to heal, with a practitioner, the hypnosis stuff. and my IKEA story and Tracy's, you know, forgiveness story and all these kinds of things. But really it was, you know, super helpful because I think our listeners, sometimes they have just no idea like why they have these energetic connections with people. Sometimes they feel them. Sometimes they don't. They have unfinished business. They have patterns they need to address. And so being able to better understand something, you know, more, you know, like the cord cutting, but then even further the QHHT and potentially if they're, you know, that if they're interested in that, they can seek you out for that. And, you know, be able to connect with you and certainly subscribe to your newsletter. So, thank you so much for being on.
Oh, and thank you.
We loved having you. So, for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.